Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad that you're joining me. Wake up with hope. And God has a word for you this morning, as he does every time we gather together. As we step into a new week, I want you to get ready for great things as we're coming through the Feast of Tabernacles and in the eighth day, Shemini Azeret, and eight is new beginning. So I want you to just expect something new. God is the God of the new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So hold on to that word. This morning I want to share with you some thoughts from Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Numbers 13 and 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but one that we need to be reminded of. As we look into the opening of Numbers 13 and 14, Moses is going to send 12 men to spy out the promised land of Canaan. And he's going to select one from each of the 12 tribes. And they are going to go into the land as spies and bring back a report. And they were gone for 40 days. And again, their job, one from each tribe, was to go in to Canaan, look at the land, survey it, find out what's going on, and bring back a report to Moses and the people of Israel. So they're gone 40 days, and now they're on their way back. And the congregation gathers together. They're anxious to hear what is going to happen. So let's pick it up right there at Numbers 13, verse 25. And when they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the land's fruit. So note this, they're bringing back a word. They're bringing back a report. They're going to open their mouth and speak. It's a word that they're bringing back, and they're showing them the gigantic grapes and the figs and the pomegranates. And they reported to Moses and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And look at the fruit. It's enormous." But, note that. So everything starts out really good. It's got milk and honey. It's got fruit. It's amazing. However, every time you put the word but in, something's about to change. But the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They're walled. They're large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. They're giants. And they are great and courageous. And the people of Amalek live in this south area of the country, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites all live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the Dead Sea around the side of the Jordan. So basically what they're saying here is, this is amazing. There's great food, lots of fruit, milk and honey, but surrounded by enemy, bigger than we are. And they're giving this report to the people. So the people are listening. Note the report came out of their mouth. They brought back word. So again, it comes to the point where we have to see how your word is so important. If their word was positive, there would have been a different result, but it wasn't. So we see 10 out of the 12 tribes, 10 of them, They are telling the people, and they are inflating the fact that though it's a land full of milk and honey, look at the giants. So they weren't focused on the land of milk and honey and the fruits and all the wonderful things. They were focused on all the negative things. And that's what came out of their mouth. And I'm sure it caused a stir because the people don't know anything. Note that. The people weren't the spies. They didn't go into the land. So the way that the people would react depended on the word that they heard. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once." Now, Caleb, he's got a totally different word. Caleb told the people, "Be quiet, settle down. Let's just go up right now and take possession of this land, for we will conquer it." So this man speaks up. The 10 other men are looking at him, wondering, "What are you saying? You think we can possess the land with all these giants?" But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against these people. They are too strong for us." So here we find two different reports. The majority, their report is, "We can't do this. We're outnumbered. They're bigger than we are. There's no way." And you've got one guy, Caleb, who says, "What are you talking about? We can do this. We can conquer them." So it's a completely different word than the first word the people heard. And the 10 say to Caleb, "Wait a minute, what are you talking about? We can't go up to the land and conquer these people. They're too strong for us." Look at verse 32. "So they gave the Israelites a bad report." So their voice, their mouth, the word they spoke was bad. And it was a bad report about the land which they spied. And when you think about that, you see that a word from someone's mouth can either show you a positive or a negative. And the word that was coming out of the mouths of the 10, completely opposite than the mouth of Caleb and, of course, Joshua, which we will see here in a moment. So they gave the Israelites a bad report about the land which they had spied out, saying, note this, here's their word, "The land through which we went in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants." Note that. "It's going to kill us. All the people we saw," note that, "all the people that we saw in the land are men of great stature. And we saw Nephilim, the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Now, so now they're talking about vision. What did they see? They saw giants. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And they're painting this picture for the people of Israel. The whole nation's hearing this. So now let's go to Numbers 14. "Then all the congregation of Israel raised their voices and cried, and the people wept all night." Oh, wow. So the people are so excited. They've gathered as a nation. They can't wait to hear what the spies are going to say. Everybody's in anticipation, hoping it's going to be good news. And then their hopes are dashed when they hear, oh, we're outnumbered, they're bigger than we are, we can't do this, we're grasshoppers, they're giants. So now it brings this discouragement. And it all began with what? A word. The report of the 10 versus the 2. And the people raised their voices and cried and wept all night. Wow. All the Israelites murmured in discontent against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, oh, that we would have just died in the land of Egypt. Or that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and children will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Amazing. Now they said, why don't we get a new leader? Let's forget Moses. Let's get a new leader and go back to Egypt. So isn't it interesting to look at the power of words? They had now been in the wilderness over a year, and God had already come down on Sinai. The tabernacle was already built. Glory of God was already there. They'd already experienced all the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the manna, the clothes, the shoes not wearing out. Of course, they saw God's miraculous power in Egypt and in the Red Sea. All of this, nobody has ever seen what they saw. Yet look at what a word that is negative could do to them. It shows you the power of words. You can experience the miracles of God, the signs, the wonders. You can experience so much, but the minute you start listening to a negative word, it will, all of a sudden you forgot what God did. And what did they say here? We just want to go back. It stops you. A word that is negative will stop you from going forward, and it will take you backwards. And that's why a lot of people just live their life going back all the time. All they do is look back, look back, look back. They never go forward because they think that their past is better than their future, because all they see is the negative. They see from the perspective of the flesh, and that's exactly what was happening here. But Caleb and Joshua were different. And here's Caleb wanting to know what is wrong with them. What are you talking about? We can take this land. We can take these people. We can conquer. So now the people are up all night, weeping, crying out, mad, upset, grumbling. I'd just rather go back. We're going to die here. Amazing what one word can do to you. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and spoke to the congregation and said, the land through which we passed through as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord, here's the first time we hear the name, the Lord. Before that, it was all about them and the giants. Not one mention of God. Verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. But do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Powerful word right here. Note this. Their protection has been removed, and the Lord is with us. What a declaration. That is so good. How powerful. So Joshua now is speaking up, because remember, Caleb had spoken up initially, and they didn't want to hear that. And now Joshua joins Caleb, and they're telling the people, look, everybody needs to calm down. It's not what you're hearing. The land is actually amazing. It's great. And God's going to bring us into this land. Just don't rebel. Don't complain. Don't go negative. Don't fear. Note that. Don't rebel. Don't fear. Their protection has been removed. The Lord is with us. Note this. I'm still in verse 9 here, Numbers 14. Do not fear them. I love it. In the KJV, it says, fear, do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Meaning, this is nothing. They have no defense. The Lord is for us. Stop fearing. So you've got 10 men who bring a negative report and stirs up fear, stirs up discontent, stirs up the people to go back. And you've got two men saying, no, 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 we've got to go forward. And now they talk about the Lord, because nobody's talked about the Lord yet. The Lord is with us. The Lord will help us. Don't fear. But the congregation, note this, said to the congregation started talking about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Can you believe that? The people were outraged because they were stirred up by the negative words. And because the power of words are so strong, it can turn your mind in the wrong direction, or it can turn you in the right one. But the majority of the voices, because 10 verses 2 is what they believed. So the congregation said to the two, what are you talking about? They were so enraged that the congregation wanted to stone them. Can you believe that? You're going to be stoned for giving a good report? But the glory of the Lord appeared and protected them. Doesn't that show you whose side God was on? The people were not that brilliant. I mean, these people kind of, you know, are you just plain ignorant? Can't you see the glory of God came upon Joshua and Caleb to show you that they are the ones that were really giving you the right report? But they couldn't even see that. Moses was so upset. God was so upset. Everybody's upset. And the Lord says, these people, I'm done with them. They despise me. Know what God says? Look at how they treat me. They reject me. They don't believe. Note that they do not believe, despite all the miracles and signs I've performed among them. Isn't that a word for everybody today? We forget the miracles and the signs that God has performed for us, that God has done in our lives, when we're facing a situation that seems bigger than ourselves, and we start looking at only what we see through our eyes of fear. And your whole disposition changes. And God says, I'm going to strike these people. I'm going to put a plague get rid of them all, and I'm going to start over with you, Moses, and we'll build a nation together. I mean, God had to be pretty upset to say that. And note when God says that. God says that right here because they could have gone into the land. They didn't need to stay in the wilderness 40 years. That was a punishment. Moses is the one that interceded. Please, God, stay your hand. Please don't strike them. And Moses had to come to their rescue and intercede for the complainers. And God said, okay, fine, but you know what? They're going to have to sit here for 40 years because of their rebellion and their fear and their negativity and their complaining. Do you know that the power of words will change your life? What you believe, your belief system is what you say. You can look at the glass half empty or half full. It's how you see. It's your vision, and it affects your words. So they went to spy out the land. What is to spy? To spy is to look. It's to search. It's to see. And their report was based on their vision. Their words were based on what they saw. We saw giants. We saw this. We saw that. But what did Joshua and Caleb see? Completely the opposite. And they all saw the same thing. Note that. All 12 were in the same land spying. All 12 saw the beautiful grapes and the figs and the pomegranates. They saw the fruit of the land. They all saw the giants. They all saw the fact that they would be, you know, outnumbered. They all knew that. So they all saw, but they didn't have the same vision. And that's a word right there. We can be in a situation and we can all see the same thing, but vision determines what you really see by spirit. So we can all see the same thing in the natural realm, but how many people are really seeing it by the spirit? And what you see determines what you say. What you see determines what you say. So how do you see? What do you see? And that's really what this entire story is about. It's about your vision. The word of the Lord was nowhere in the mouth of the negative 10. But the word of the Lord was in the mouth of the two who saw in the spirit, who saw what God saw, who had the vision of the Lord and depended on the Lord. They knew in their own self they couldn't take down these giants. But the word that Joshua and Caleb declared was so powerful. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land. He will give it to us. Don't rebel. Don't fear the people. Their protection is removed. Note this. The Lord is with us. You see, the 10 never talked about the Lord being with them. They talked about the giants being with them. Again, it's vision. It's how you see. And that is what we need to think about. What you see is what you say. What you see is what you will say, and your words frame your world. Remember the message that I preached a few weeks ago on this podcast? God created the world by words, but God had to have vision first. So God created it by words, and you're a creator too, and you create your world by words. What you see is what you say. They saw the same thing, but they didn't say the same thing. There were two conflicting reports. One, there's no way we can do it. They're too big for us. We can't take the land. It was all by what they saw in the flesh, by fear. Two, we can conquer them. This is no problem. They're like grass. You're just saying that they're giants and we're grasshoppers. No. They're grasshoppers and we're giants. Look who our God is. But no, the ten never talked about who their God was. They were too focused on what they saw. Now, if you look at these 12 that were sent, they were a representative of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So 10 of the 12 tribes were in the negative. Only two were in the positive. What tribes were they from? Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. Caleb from the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. Ephraim means double fruitfulness. Note that. Caleb means praise. Caleb is linked with Judah. Judah means praise. Joshua comes from the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim means double fruitfulness. So you've got praise and double fruitfulness going against the 10 negatives. When you praise God, you stop seeing things from your flesh. Worship has everything to do with opening up the spiritual dimension to us. You come to God with worship, worship and prayer. Worship takes your eyes off of yourself and puts your eyes on the Lord. That's why we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, you see? What does worship do? Worship actually means to bow self down. So Judah means praise. Judah means worship. It's to bow self down. You see, Caleb bowed self down. He didn't look at what he saw. He looked through the eyes of the Spirit because he was a worshiper. What about Joshua, coming from the tribe of Ephraim? Ephraim, double fruitfulness, double portion. So Joshua, he was a man of double portion, double fruitfulness. And he saw the negative, but his belief system was doubly greater than their negative belief system. The name Caleb actually means devoted to God, faithful. Again, Caleb means devoted to God and faithful. That's why he talked about the Lord. Joshua really is the word Yeshua, which means Savior. We learned that in the Feast of Tabernacles message, that Jesus, Yeshua, means Savior. So Joshua means Savior, and Caleb means faithful and devoted to God. What powerful names. In other words, for Joshua and Caleb to say we can take the land was a type and shadow of Jesus going before them and declaring, I am with you. You're going to make it. You will conquer. And also the fact that you will conquer by faith. These people had no faith. But definitely not faith in God. Maybe faith in the negative. Maybe faith in what they saw. But we've got to be devoted to God in our faith, not devoted to our fear. A lot of people have more faith in their fear than they do in God. Their belief system is so connected to what they see in the natural that it negates the faith-filled belief system in what they can't see. But if you're going to know God, you have to walk by faith. So it comes back to what we see. What is our vision? And I have to bring it back to us because the Bible is a mirror and we see ourselves in every story, every verse, all these events, all these characters in the Bible, everything that is going on. God is showing us a mirror to show us our lives. Those of you listening to me live and those of you that will be listening on the recording, what camp are you in? Do you side with the 10 or do you side with the 2? When something happens that's negative, do you focus on what you see or do you focus on what you do not see? I'm talking about in the natural realm. Are your eyes open to the dimension of spirit or are they just locked on dimension of flesh? What do you see? Again, what you see determines what you say. When I began the ministry, and it was 110 degrees, and we were in a drought, and people closest to me said, are you sure? Do you know, can you see that there has been no rain? Do you realize we're in the month of August? We have had no rain since June. Do you see how hot it is? And it was all about the negative. You're single, you're female, you have no experience, you have no following. It's all what they saw. But I had to go by what God showed me. And I had to have a different vision. Yes, it was 110 degrees. Yes, we were in the middle of a drought. Yes, I had no following. Yes, I had no backing. Yes, I had no money. But I couldn't focus on what I saw. I had to focus on what I believed that God told me to do. So my vision was different than everybody else. Even my family didn't believe it. My vision was completely different than everybody else's vision. My closest friends and family did not. They questioned. They doubted because of the circumstance they saw. And so I had to have vision of a higher dimension. And I had to speak God's word because everybody else's word was so negative. Do you know that I could have been so discouraged I could have not gone through with it? Their words were so discouraging. There was one point that I had a second thought, maybe I shouldn't do this. But I had to quickly get rid of that thought because I knew I heard God's voice. And when you hear God's voice, you have to see in the dimension of spirit. So God will speak to you. Oftentimes, you're looking at something impossible, but God says, go do this and go do that. And you wonder, well, you can't. The circumstances are opposite. But God doesn't tell you to look at what you see in this realm. He says, look at the vision I have given you. I need your eyes to be focused in spirit. And that is where the majority of us miss it. We are so prone to be moved by what we see and what we hear instead of by what God's vision is and God's word is. So we look at the story and what an example of vision and word. They spied for 40 days and they come back from their vision and give a word. 10 verses 2. And the 10 were the majority, and the majority had the power to move the people. In our world today, we always think that the majority is right. But in God's world, the minority is. The majority go with the flow of the tide. The minority go by faith. The majority are moved by feeling and emotion, but the minority are moved by faith. The majority get shaken by fear and troubles and try to figure it out with their mind. The minority trust God to figure it out for them. A big difference. And who are the majority and who are the minority? It's the masses versus the remnant. Oh, we always come back to this. It's the masses of believers versus the remnant of overcomers. Because the overcomers don't look at life like the believers do. Oh, we all love Jesus. Yeah, we all, you know, believe in degrees of our belief system. Remember, everybody's belief system isn't the same. But the majority go by what they feel, go by what they see in the natural, go by the news. Oh, boy. Well, but the stats say this and the reports say that, and they're all in the soul realm. But the minority, the overcomers, the true remnant, they have a whole completely different mindset, just like Joshua and Caleb. The majority sees the giants and they can't do it. The minority says, shoot, what is that for our God? You see, it's a completely different vision and it produces a completely different word. I had people when I began the ministry, how are you going to do this? My answer was, I have no idea. I just know I'm going to do it by the faith and the strength of God. And if I fail, then at least I tried. That was my answer. How are you going to raise the money? I have no idea. But God's got the money. He's not worried about money. It was one negativity after the next. And that's kind of been the story of my life. God's always asked me to do the impossible. And it's always been a test of my vision. And the test of my vision produces my word. And that is how God trains all of us. He will put something in your path, and he will see how you respond to it. How do you respond to your circumstance? How much focus are you giving that thing you see and how you feel? And can you truly see past your soulish realm? Vision produces words. What you see produces what you say. Remember at the Red Sea, the people were fearing. The Egyptians were behind them. They were gaining ground. They have nowhere to go. They either go back to Egypt or they drown in the Red Sea, and they're caught between two. And they don't know what to do, and they're crying out, and everybody's in fear. And it was a very, for lack of a better word, stressful time. That's a very light word compared to what they were going through. And Moses, what are you going to do about it? We're going to die. You brought us here to die? No, we're going to die at the Red Sea. Or we're going to die by the hand of Pharaoh and his army. And everybody, imagine that, a whole nation, oh boy, must have been a sight to behold. And Moses goes to God because he has nobody else. Oh, you talk about being a loner. That was a loner. Talk about walking alone and having a totally and completely different vision. That was Moses. That was the leader. And the Lord is saying, what are you doing crying to me? Lift up the rod. You've got to see something different. And Moses was a man who of the Spirit, he really was. And he had to see by Spirit that God was going to do this. Or they would have, right there, they would have lost. The whole entire plan would have failed. And they would have gone right back into captivity if they did not have a leader with vision. Hmm. So the question today is, what do you see? Because what you see is what you say. And what you say is what you get. You shape your world by words. But before you open your mouth, you're making a decision by your vision. What you see is what you say. Do you think that when God created the world, he just spoke it without seeing it? God had to have the vision before he spoke it into reality. He had to see it, then he said it. You have to see it, and then you say it. But you have to have the vision. Because the word you speak will frame the world you live in. And there could be nothing more truthful than what I just said. The words you speak will determine the world you live in. Are you a complainer? Do you see everything from the negative realm? Are you always looking for something negative? Or do you see the negative, but you can turn it around to a positive? Are you living by your soul? You're up one day, you're down the next, you're happy, you're sad, you're in, you're out, you're up, you're down, you're depressed, you're happy. What is that? It's a seesaw way of living. It's by soul. And we've got to live by spirit. And we see Joshua and Caleb, the minority of the group, are the ones who had the right vision. And they turned the words of the negative around. But you know what? The words of those who are negative were so powerful and so believable that the people who basically lived in the flesh, they gravitated and they received the negative word versus the positive. We can't go by the numbers. We've got to go by God. Just because the masses say it doesn't mean that's what God's saying. Even in our world of Christendom, just because somebody's got a big following and all of this stuff and they're putting out prophetic words does not mean that is God. We have to know by spirit. You know, someone sent me, you know, people send me things all the time. I don't check a lot of my Facebook messages. I mean, I will here and there. But for the majority, I don't even read. They're coming in from left and right. But someone sent me something over the weekend. And it was some prophetic word. And the image, the picture that came with the word was someone that I know from the past. And I know that this man is full of pride and off track. And his whole aim is to build and to be famous. He told me that when I met him 2 years ago. That is his aim. He wants to be famous. He wants to be well known. It's all about stardom. And if you ever listen to him, which a lot of you probably do, and read, it's all about, well, when God told me, God already told me this. And now look, he always starts by, he already comes to the second perspective because he already knew it. Because it's so prideful. So whoever this person was, I don't know them, sent me this thing. And all I did is click on it, and I saw him and his wife, saw the picture, and I thought, you know, I haven't even read anything for over a year. And I sat there, and I read what he wrote, and there was zero anointing, that this woman, whoever she was, thought it was such a major word, she needed to send it to me. And I'm reading this thing, and I'm thinking to myself, it's all about, well, we're gearing up for the end times and all of this stuff, but God said this, and it sounds like a good word, but it was void of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And how do you know when something's anointed or not? You need to live in the presence of God. If not, you'll think it's anointed. And it all comes back to this. Where are we living? What are we hearing? How do we know when it's spirit and it's flesh? You've got to live in the dimension of the Spirit. You've got to know the Holy Spirit or you can't decipher the two. You see, those grumbling Israelites, did not know God intimately. They saw signs and wonders and heard words, all this, the mountains quaking. Now we got the tabernacle and God's in the midst. But yet they believed the negative word. They believed the wrong word. So that goes to prove you can listen to prophecy. You can experience miracles, signs, and wonders. You can see God perform a creative miracle, but it does not mean you have vision. It does not mean you see by spirit. It takes faith for that. It takes faith. And your vision has to be built around the faith of God, not your own measly faith. We don't need to just have our faith. We need the faith of God. Faith in God is really faith of God. And Joshua and Caleb had it. So today I want to encourage you, because I think a lot of people get so tangled up in how we see, what we see, how we feel, what we feel, what someone says, how it affects us. That's why people get offended. It's all about word. But we've got to live higher than that. We've got to live above offense. We've got to live above tribulation. We've got to live above our world falling apart. We've got to live above the doctor's report. We've got to live above the circumstance. And you can't live above it if you're focused on it. So your vision, what you see, must be higher than where you live. Your vision has to be greater than where you live in this earthly dimension and what you see in this earthly plane. We must get this today. It's very important. It will change your life. It will completely change your life. You know, right now, we have 2 months, roughly, to launch a monumental campaign called Let's Pray. To launch television commercials, get our nation back to praying. And behind the scenes, we are working to get all of this together so that we can present it to the nation and start people with 60 seconds of prayer, then take them to 5, take them to 15, then take them to 30. Well, they don't know that. We're just casting a huge net beginning January 1st, getting people's attention for the new year, And telling them you could change your nation if you just give me 60 seconds of prayer a day. We're going to write these prayers out. We're going to do video prayers. We're going to text the prayers. I mean, we've got a whole campaign we're working on. But we need to raise $100,000, maybe more than that, probably more. So people wonder, and I've heard this, where are you going to get the money? How are you going to do this? You're not Gateway Church. You're not some big organization. How are you going to do it? And you know what I've been saying to people? I'm not going to do it. God's going to do it. And that's my answer. Where are you going to get the money from? God. How are you going to do it? I'm not. It's going to be Him that does it. It's His vision. He's going to bring it to pass. All I have to do is believe, and all I have to do is march forward. You see, they wanted to go backwards. Instead of going forward and taking the enemy down and going forward to the land of promise, hello, promise, what did they do? We might as well just go on back to Egypt. Let's just go back there. We need to go back. Now they're going backwards because there's no way we could take the land. But you see, we cannot go backwards. Where are you going to go back to? The only way that God has mapped out for everyone who believes in Him is a path forward. Nowhere in Scriptures does the Lord say, now I want you to go backwards here. God's army is marching on. God is always marching on. He's the commander-in-chief. He's always taking you onward and upward. He's never taking you backwards and downward. You take you there, not him. You're the one that goes into the depression. You're the one that gets discouraged. You're the one that has no hope. It's us that do it. It's not the Lord. The Lord's ways are not that way. God's way is upward and onward, Christian soldier, marching on to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. It's the crucified life that keeps you going forward. But when your flesh is not crucified, you will go backward and live by feeling and emotion and soul. And we've got to get out of the soul. The problem with these people is the same problem with us today. We can look at the Israelites and we can judge them and we can say whatever we want, but are we really different? Don't we complain and murmur? Don't we tell God what all the things and the troubles and don't we see the negative and believe in it? We're no different. See, we have to have a mindset that is different than their mindset. We cannot continue to go in the direction that they went in because it cost them 40 years. And do you know that at the end of the 40 years, every one of those complainers, that generation died. God prohibited them from going to the promised land because they did not believe. But guess who got to go into the promised land in their old age? Joshua and Caleb. And who would be Moses' successor? Joshua. So we find out here that faithfulness will get you to the promise because those two were in the minority and they're the only two from that generation that got to go into the land that they believed in. Really, they should have been in it 40 years before. They had to wait 40 years because these grumblers stopped them. We can't afford to do that. The time is way too short. Things are changing rapidly, and it's going to take big faith to make it in this world. And we're going to have to get our vision straight and stop being moved by what we fear and be moved by God's faith. We are moved by what we fear. That's exactly what it was happening here. They feared the giant. But you find no fear in Joshua and Caleb. There's no word or mention of fear. The only word they mentioned was God. God will give it to us. God will take us into the land. God will do it. And we've got to have more faith in God than we do in fear. And it all comes back to vision. Your world is framed by your word, and what you see determines what you speak. And I'll say it over and over until you memorize this message today. Your world is framed by words, and what you see is what you will speak. So what are you speaking? It depends on what you're seeing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, it takes a lot of time alone with God, meditating on his word, to get your mind changed and your vision right. If you're always on your cell phone scrolling for the next entertainment on Instagram and Facebook and you're always going to the next thing, how can you stop and really focus on God? If the world is constantly stimulating your soul, you cannot have God's vision. I think today we have so many powerless Christians because we are stimulated in the soul. And that soulless stimulation is killing you in the spirit. And so you become carnal and fleshly and you live by your feelings because your soul is so stimulated that your spirit is dying. And instead of seeing by spirit, speaking by spirit, living by spirit, we're living in a dimension that is powerless, but we're being entertained every second. We're being entertained by TV. We're being entertained by movies. We're being entertained by social media. And somebody's got to post something, and you've got to figure out what they're doing. And then this has to happen over here. And then you see the video ad over there. Your brain is so stimulated, you can't even sit down for 5 minutes and get that mess out of your head. And that's the problem that we're having. And we have got to shut down. I pray to God. I tell him all the time, Lord, I pray that you will just shut down something that people will not be able to live on their cell phones, and that they will have to go to their Bible and start learning how to pray again. We need to go back to the old-fashioned way. Get off of your computer and open up the book. Touch the pages and read it. Get off the iPad. There's nothing like touching the pages of your Bible. We have got to come back to being people of spirit, or we're going to be just like these Israelites, and that's unfortunately the majority of Christians today. But those who will sever and let their soul be weaned will be men and women of power and men and women of the Spirit that will look at a situation and declare God's word in it because they already see it before it happens. That is what God is looking for. That's the army that God is looking to rise up right now in the earth. It's a remnant, but the remnant will always be the ones that will get the job done. And you look at the Bible, there's always a remnant. Look at Samuel. He was a one-man army for an entire nation. Look at David. Look at his life and his impact on the nation of Israel. Look at Daniel, who prayed in the midst of Babylon, and he could have died for it. He didn't care. He didn't live by feeling. He lived by spirit. Look at the mighty men and women of God. Look at Esther. She could have been killed for going before the king. Look at the faith it took. You had to see by spirit. She had to save her nation. We have to see it by spirit, not see it by fear. And it only comes through people who will get alone with God. Get alone with God until your vision changes. You know, when my dad, and I've shared this before, my dad was in the hospital. And his heart, you know, was failing, and it was really getting tough. And his legs were filling up with fluid, and the cardiologist comes in, and she's like, how are you feeling? And he said, I'm feeling great. You know, by God's grace, I'm doing well. She looks at him, and she says, what I see here is not good. She said, you're not doing good. She said, what I see is not, you're not doing well. And you know what he said? You have to see to believe. I believe to see. So he completely turned it around on her. And he didn't even have to think twice before that came out of his mouth, because that's where he lived. It wasn't vision by this dimension. It was a vision by faith. You have to see to believe. I believe. In other words, I've got a vision in my belief system before I see. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's a whole different perspective. That's where we have to live. Blessed be his name. You know, I could preach on this another 30 minutes, maybe even an hour. I think I'm on a roll right now, because I am way over my 30-minute time slot that I usually have on these podcasts. But we're in a subject that is personal to every single one of us. This subject today, this topic is for every single person. Every one of us can relate. And we are in two camps. There are those of you who are the camps with the 10, and the others are in the camp with the 2. You know who you are, and you know where you live. And if you're not in the camp of Joshua and Caleb, then you need to repent and get right with God. Start praying and seeking his face and ask God to give you vision and get that fear out of your life and get that carnal way of thinking out and start living by spirit. It's the only way to do it. It will never work any other way. We walk in the things of God. We declare by God's word. We live in the dimension of spirit on earth And that's how we get the job done. God will always, always come through. And sometimes it's not the way we think, but listen, it's a test of your faith and your vision anyway. You know, when we were at the gala and the jeweler, Varej, was there and he had taken a drink of water and he was, it just went down the wrong pipe. Well, he started choking and that ended up really getting bad. And at one point he stopped breathing and everybody, you know, I've heard people, you know, saying, oh, you know, call somebody, do this. And I said, no, everybody pray. Everybody started praying. And we declared, nobody's going to die in this gala. I can assure you of that. Nobody's passing out. That this is not going to happen. And we took authority by spirit. And when we did, everything changed. Instantly it changed. But if we would have gone into fear mode, if I would have said, oh, Lord, he's about to die, if everybody started fearing, something could have really bad happened. But the minute I saw it start to happen, I literally, the Spirit of God rose up on the inside of me. And I think that everybody in that room, because there were some mighty giants of the faith in that room, everybody just started praying. And that faith-filled room touched that man. But if we were like the spies that were the 10 and saw it was over, he may have not made it. I don't know what would have happened, but it was a test right there of our faith and all of the precious people that came. They ignited in their faith and they declared it and we got it. And you know, after he came, you know, everything was fine. Nobody even talked about it. It was like, okay, we just need to handle that so we can go on now. It was amazing. But I want to encourage you today to get alone with the Lord. Shut down the crazy phone. Get away from the TV. Remove the stimulation of the flesh and get alone with God. If you have to drive in your car to a park or get alone somewhere in your garage, whatever, if you got to get away from the noise, but get alone with God and don't listen to anybody but his voice. And take that thing you're facing to him. And you surrender again. And you stop living by your feeling and your emotion. And you start living by his spirit. And you begin to have the joy again and the laughter again. You begin to have the faith again and the peace again. You begin to have hunger again, because when you're scrolling your phone and watching your news, you don't have the hunger to pray and read your Bible. Why? Because you got to watch Tucker Carlson. You got to watch Sean Hannity. You got to watch the news. I might miss something. You know what? You need to open your Bible, because you're really missing something by not reading it. I know so many friends. Oh, they've got to have their dinner with Tucker and their dinner with Sean and Laura. How about we have our dinner with the Lord? How about we get alone? If you could put that 1 hour into the prayer and the word, where would you be right now? And I'm not saying we don't watch the news. Of course we do. But we can't let that be something that we're more focused on than God and his word. So get alone with him. Spend the time. Get away from your friends and get away from your family and get in this Bible and open it up. And the Spirit of God will speak to you. And whatever you're facing, you will change. Your mindset will change. And you'll begin to do exactly what these two did. Remember, worship. The tribe of Judah. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Judah means worship. The worship will get you back into the presence of God. And Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim. Double fruitfulness. Your worship will cause a double portion of fruitfulness to come upon your life, and you will see God move in an unprecedented way in that situation. So you have your marching orders, and you know what to do. If you're in the camp of the 10, you need to get in the presence of God and learn how to live there. not come in and out. Learn how to live there so that every decision you make, everything you go through is determined by your vision and your word. Start to see in the Spirit. Start to speak in the Spirit. Start to declare in the Spirit, and you will live in the Spirit. That's how we do it. That's how Jesus did it, and he's God. But he had to live in the Spirit. He had to let the Holy Spirit lead, and he was never moved. It didn't even matter if somebody died. It didn't move him because he knew he could raise them back from the dead. Remember what Paul said? And none of these things move me. And none of these things move me. And that is a tall order because everything moves us. But we have got to be moved by the Spirit. That's how we do it. Blessed be his name. I'm going to stop because I think I can keep going this morning. And I've only had a half a cup of coffee. But listen, coffee has nothing to do with these messages. Trust me, this is all by the Holy Spirit. I never know when I get on these podcasts in the morning what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit just, he's the Ruach breath of God, and he takes the word and he brings it to life, and he gives you something fresh every day. Listen, if you are encouraged and blessed, and these messages, which really could be Sunday morning sermon messages, if these messages are touching you, would you partner with us? Would you support this work? We need more partners. We have very few. We need people that will sow. Give an offering today. Be generous. Help us. We need your partnership. We need your support. We need your prayers because we have a big task ahead. We have a lot to do. And the administrative costs alone in this ministry are high. There's a lot that we do. We have to pour in a lot of money every month. And without your giving, we can't reach those goals. So God is, you know, speaking to all of us to give and support where we are fed. When you go to a restaurant, you pay for the meal, don't you? Well, God doesn't charge for his word, but he says, don't come to me empty-handed. Give and you shall get. So God expects us to give. And, you know, I live my life giving. I've raised up Grace, and really she's been trained to give. I mean, it's since she was a child. She would have her little allowance, and she would go to the offering bucket, and she would put it all in there. She has been learned in the ways of giving. So as we give, God will bless us. And, you know, our ministry is all live by faith. We do. We live by faith. We never know what people are going to do. They love you one day. They don't the next. They give. They don't. So my faith and my belief system has everything to do with how we continue to survive and come forward. And I have very big faith. And whether, you know, people give or they don't, God will raise up somebody that will. So when people don't, God will bring somebody that will. It's just the way it works. But people that don't give don't get the blessing. People that do always will get the blessing. And we give God because we love God, and it's an act of our worship. So if you're being blessed and you receive from this ministry, partner with us or give a donation and watch and see what God will do in your life, because there's a huge blessing for everyone who gives into the kingdom of God, and it will be beyond your expectation. May the words that were spoken this morning touch your heart, ignite something new, challenge you, convict you, and bring you into that place where you will be like Joshua and Caleb. And you will live your life seeing giants as grasshoppers, speaking the word of God into your situation, and knowing that no matter what you face, your God is greater. And that's really the vision of Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, they're giants. Yeah, they're bigger than us, but my God is bigger than them. And that's how we do it. The Lord bless all of you. Have a wonderful day. I look forward to being with you again on Wednesday.